Blog Talk Radio.
Mardi Gras, put your hands together. Got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back. This means war.
To the Spirit Alive Ministries Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Apostle Shalene Cook. Welcome to Taking It to the Streets Discipleship Class for this Monday, July 17th, 2023. Now, before we get into the lesson for tonight, I'd like to start our program with a word of prayer. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I come now before your throne of grace, just asking that I completely decrease, Father God, so that you might have all of the increase. Lord, I pray that everything that is said or done here on tonight will be done decently and in order and will give you honor and glory and praise. I pray, Father God, that your listeners will be blessed by all that they will hear and that they will take your word, apply it to their daily lives and share it with others. We pray, Lord God, that if anybody doesn't know you in a part of their sin, that tonight would be the night that they would make you their Lord and their Savior. So it is in Jesus' holy, righteous name I do pray it all. Amen and amen. Tonight's program is entitled, Meet Me in the War Room. Because the question that I'm going to ask all of us to answer tonight is, have you really and truly discovered the power of prayer? You see, prayer is a mighty weapon at the disposal of every man or woman who loves God and knows his son, Jesus Christ. You see, prayer can be described as a guided missile that can be launched from anywhere on the face of the planet at any target, and there is absolutely no defense against it. You see, Satan can't stop our prayers. The enemy would rather have us do anything else than pray. That's why on tonight, before you leave this assembly, I want every blood-washed believer to understand that prayer is much more than a holy discipline, but prayer is a weapon of mass destruction. Hallelujah. You see, prayer changes things. Prayer is a weapon of mass sin destruction. Prayer is a weapon of mass disease destruction. Prayer is a weapon of mass debt destruction. Any destruction you can think of, prayer can annihilate it. Hallelujah. So tonight, I want to change how we look at prayer, and I want each and every one of us to change our prayer closet into a war room. Amen. And you see, before a general goes into battle, you have to understand, he draws up a plan. Before a coach arrives at the field before a big game, he has a game plan. Before we see any of those knights face those dragons, they had a plan of attack. Well, when we're fighting the enemy and going before our mighty God in prayer, we also need a battle plan for prayer. Don't get me wrong. God will listen to our ramblings, but if we come prepared with a prayer strategy and we know how we want to approach the throne of God, our prayers and our hearts are better aligned for specific outcomes. And just as that general, coach, or knight, we have planned for specific outcomes. Now, before we can create a war room strategy, we need to have a better understanding of what prayer is and any barriers to effective prayer that we may be putting up with. So let's go. Let's dive in. For those of you that are just come to the Lord, let me tell you what prayer is. At its simplest form, it's just talking with God. It is our direct dial communication line with our Father in heaven. There is no operator asking us to hold while she gets him on the line. No, you just call him up and he will answer. Prayer is not, however, just us telling him what we want. It is so much more than that. You see, I want you to understand, beloved, that prayer is a conversation with our Creator that should include asking for forgiveness of our sins, thanking him for all that he has done for us, and sharing our needs and our desires with him. Prayer is like having a chat with your very best friend, someone who knows you deeply and loves you unconditionally. Prayer is waiting with expectation and joyful hope that God is going to answer. Maybe not in the way that we expect, but we know that he will answer. Psalm 5:3 says, listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Each morning I bring my request to you, and I wait expectantly. Psalm 17:6 says, I am praying to you because I know you will answer. Oh God, bend down and listen as I pray. Hallelujah. So prayer is simply a conversation with God where we are seeking his face and his hand. Now, seeking God's face is about our relationship with God, while seeking his hand is about seeing results of our prayers. And there is nothing like a consistent prayer life that will move our faith from the realm of religion into a true relationship with Jesus. Prayer also energizes our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. And consistent prayer also releases the power of God's blessings on our lives and our circumstances. Jesus said, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. That is recorded in Matthew 6:6. Now, a person who develops a secret life of prayer with Christ is promised a reward from the Father. You see, when we begin to create a consistent rhythm of meeting with the Father in prayer, it brings blessings and favors upon our lives. And if you don't believe it that yet, then let me share another verse with you. In Hebrews it says, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That is Hebrews 11:6. And this is just one more verse that talks about God's rewards for those who seek him. Can you imagine what it would be like to have the reward of the Father in your life? Well, I came to tell you tonight, it can be yours. You can have that as you learn to meet with Jesus through prayer in your secret place. As you learn how to talk to the Lord, you will also discover the blessing of the Lord. Prayer will also result in God's power to bring change. Notice I didn't say our power to bring change. I said prayer will result in God's power to bring about change. James said, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Or the prayers of the righteous availeth much. That's James 5:16. Have you ever taken a magnifying glass and used it to harness the sun's power? I know I remember having to do that as a kid in a science class, you know, and I was just amazed that you could somehow harness the sun's rays and focus it on this little leaf and the leaf would burn. Well, prayer is like that magnifying glass. It allows us to harness all the power of Christ and focus on his mighty power upon a place, a person, or a circumstance on this planet. This is the awesome power of prayer that we so often neglect. Consistent life of prayer will set a spiritual fire around us. And without prayer, we won't be able to receive all that God has provided for us. God has set up his kingdom in a way that we must consistently come to him in a relationship. We must seek him personally and ask him to be at work in us and through our circumstances. Excuse me. The Lord wants us to continually invite him into our lives, and he wants us to surrender to him and to seek his power. James again said, you do not have because you do not ask God. I'm fully convinced that the Lord has blessings for you and your life that he has chosen to withhold from you until you come to him in prayer. See, God is not going to give it all. He's not going to give you everything that he has for you unless you really connect with him in a relationship. See, therefore, you can't go up. That's why we can't go up and manipulate God. There's no buttering God up. There's no. It's going to be his way or no way. Because God desires for us to communicate with him. It's one of the biggest reason why we were created at all. He wanted us to be in fellowship with him. And, of course, since prayer is so important to God, the Bible is filled with scripture related to prayer. So tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to begin to move away from the prayer closet strategy and move into the war room strategy. And when you're really going to move into the war room strategy, there has to be some things that you know and that you believe and that you do to the utmost. And the first one is this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. You see, first and foremost, we've got to stand in that faith. We cannot allow doubt, fear, worry, anything to stop us from knowing and believing that God can and God will. We don't have to be anxious about it. All we have to do is go to our Father and with thanksgiving. That's one of the things that I love about Pastor Vanessa and Bishop Carver. They always say, I thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, because they're going with thanksgiving. They're saying, I'm thanking you for what you're already doing, and I'm thanking you in advance for what you're going to do. And we need to understand that in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. That's in Romans 8:26. And then James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective. Before you talk about your prayer room, before you get ready to go into battle, you better know that you know that you know that God is real in your life. You better be submitted, yielded, hallelujah, and submitted to the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Because in order to have a war room mentality, you have to be convicted and convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt. So why is it that we just seem to have a prayer closet mentality instead of a war room mentality? What are some of the barriers of really effective prayer? And I'm going to take my time with this because this is going to be a series and we're going to have several classes. So tonight I'm going to focus on some of those barriers, because I know that probably all of us at some times in our lives we've prayed and we just felt like God just wasn't hearing us, or maybe we were praying and something was still just feeling off for some reason. And there are times that we know we have barriers to an effective prayer life, and then there's other times that we don't. So before we draw up this battle plan for prayer, we need to first ask God to examine our heart, and we need to ask him to reveal any barriers that may be causing us to stumble. And one of the most common barriers is simply not praying enough. How often have we told someone that we would pray for them and then didn't? Is prayer a regular part of your day and your life? Or do you only pray when you need something? See, I'm going to ask us to get real here tonight. I'm going to ask us to ask ourselves some hard questions. So do you talk to God on the daily? You know, I hear so many people talk about prayer. and how they believe in the power of prayer. But then when you call them out to pray, you can hear crickets chirping. We got a lot of people professing Jesus, professing the power of prayer, but there is no evidence that they have a prayer, a dynamic prayer walk. You know, it's funny. Some of us have time for the latest reality shows. Oh, we can go out to dinner with our friends. Oh, we can play board games with our friends. But we don't even, but then we won't make time for the very one that created us. See, I need for you new converts to understand, especially, prayer must be a daily part of our life, not just an on Sunday thing. Prayer should be second nature to breathing. Prayer should be as easy as it is for as it is knowing your name. It should just be second nature. Because, listen, if you're not praying, beloved, then your prayers aren't going to be answered because God's not going to answer what you don't ask for, okay? Some of us, we desire, but we don't have. This is what the Word of God tells us. Some of us, it says, you desire, but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. How many times or how many of us out there today, right now, in this moment, know of situations in your life where you would have been so much better off if you would have simply listened to what God had to say, and you prayed and you listened, you know, you actually had that conversation, you know, you went up there and talked, he listened, then when he talked, you listened, and this is a day by day, everyday thing. Another reason why we don't go to God, we don't have that war room mentality, it's because of our unconfessed sin. See, some of us Christians, we want to live holy with a twist. You know, we want to confess. You know, we want to confess our sins to the Father. But then we don't ever change. You see, or if we do, or we don't confess at all. But what I'm telling you to do is if you have sin in your life, we need to go to our knees, confess our sin, and then we need to ask God to shine the light on any sin that we don't even know that we have yet and ask him for forgiveness. Because, you know, when we try to hide from God, first of all, it's futile because God knows everything. He sees everything. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. You can't, you know, he knows everything. So, you know, it's not like he's just going to overlook your sin because you don't go and confess it. The Word of God says in Psalm 66 and 18, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. So, you see, when we want to hold on to those grudges, hold on to that anger, hold on to that jealousy, hold on to that pride, hold on to that stuff, then the Lord is not going to listen to our prayers. A lot of us aren't having, we don't have a war room mentality because we're praying with the wrong motives. You know, and what I mean by that is when we pray, we're praying for our own selfish reasons. We're praying for what's in it for us. You have to understand something. God knows our heart, and our prayers may go, well, most likely go unanswered when we pray with the wrong motives. Then others of us, we pray while giving God a laundry list of things we want. Oh, yeah, we put ourselves and our needs and you know, on the list, and then we go up there and we run them down to God. Well, I say, what about putting yourself and your needs aside and start praying for others? Because, see, if prayer is going to be a weapon of mass destruction, you also need to be praying for the masses. Amen. You are going to be interceding for the masses. And when you're praying, you're going to be praying for God's glory to be revealed and not your own. Hallelujah. So if you don't have a war room mentality, maybe, you know, you need to check your motives. Another reason is because sometimes our relationships are just out of whack. When our relationships are out of whack, our prayers may be hindered. You know, if you're going through it with your spouse or another family member, or, you know, you have a friend or a neighbor and we're warm with them, we're not going to have effective prayer not until we get all that squashed. In Matthew 5, Jesus tells us that before we worship, we must first make peace with anybody that we're in conflict with. This is especially true for spouses. We are to love and honor our spouse, and if we aren't, barriers to effective prayer becomes very difficult to tear down. Okay? Listen to what it says in 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as a weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. So we have to, you know, I tell people, you can pretty much tell the kind of relationship a person has with God by their relationships with people. Okay? And it's the truth. If your household is in turmoil, if, you know, you're warring with your kids, or your kids are warring with each other, or that's gonna throw off your balance. Then another reason why some of us we're always gonna have that prayer closet mentality and not a war room mentality is lack of belief. I mean, let me ask you something. When you ask God to do something, do you believe that he will actually do it? Are you asking with the firm belief that he can do anything and incredibly more than we can ever think or imagine? Or, you know, or are you going up there asking with the kind of attitude, well, I'm just going to throw this in there, but, you know, he might answer it and he might not. Let me explain something to you. Going before God to ask him to move is a great first step. But believing, and I mean truly believing, that he will actually do it, what you have asked him to do, now that requires faith. When we are not praying with true faith, we're not going to see an answer. But when we ask, we must believe and never doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Then another reason why some of us don't have a war room mentality when it comes to prayer is we have a lack of persistence. Okay? Straight up. Have you ever prayed for something once or twice and then you just gave up on it because you just assumed God wasn't going to answer? Be honest now. One of the biggest barriers to effective prayer is just throwing in the towel when God doesn't answer on the timetable that you expect him to. In Luke 18, Jesus told the disciples a parable about praying and not giving up because he knew that the lack of persistence would be an obstacle to effective prayer. Now, sometimes God wants us to keep praying because he knows we're not ready to receive the blessing that we're praying for. Or perhaps he keeps us praying because he wants us to build strength, knowledge, or character before he will answer. But he doesn't want us to give up. And the word of God says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come back and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, when will he find faith on the earth? That comes to you from Luke 18:1-8. So some of us, you know, we'll pray, we'll ask, and as soon as God doesn't answer, we're like, well, he's just not going to say anything. Or what we will do is because we don't get an answer, we think that's his way of giving us the go-ahead. I know. If God doesn't answer us, we are to be still until he does. Just because you don't hear the answer doesn't mean that God is not speaking to you. You might not just want to hear him. Another reason that some of us we don't really have war room mentality is because we're just not obedient. I mean, if we fail to be obedient to Father God, the one who created us, why should he choose to bless us? You see, what I want you to understand is obedience and answered prayer go hand in hand. So before you assume that God just didn't want to answer your prayer, you need to consider every area in your life that you might still have some disobedience lurking. First John 3:21-22 says, dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. So if we're being obedient, and we're doing what he tells us to, because as I said, God says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. We love God. We're going to be obedient, and he is going to bless us. And here's another big one for some of us. Our prayers are being hindered because of our own unforgiveness. Again, are you holding any grudges? Is there anyone in your life that you haven't been able to forgive? If so, what I want you to do is for you to just ask God to allow his spirit to keep reminding you of how great his forgiveness is towards you. This is one of the biggest barriers to effective prayer. because failing to forgive others not only builds a wall between you and others, but more importantly, it will build a wall between you and the Heavenly Father. In Matthew 18:21-22, we read these words, because forgiveness can be tough, but when we forgive, it can remove all the debris from our communication channel with God. Just like it says here in Matthew, when it says, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. So a lot of us, we want to be forgiven of our sin. We want to be blessed, but we must remember, are we forgiving others? Are we blessing others? Are we, when we pray, are we really thinking with a war room mentality? Are we just going up there? Now, another big thing that hinders us from a war room mentality is we decide we're going to have other idols in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout the Bible, God gets on his people for the idols in their lives. You have to understand, nothing, and I mean absolutely nothing or no one, can hold a higher position in our lives than God. And if we are placing idols before God, why should he answer our prayers? So I want to ask you another hard question right now. What idols might be blocking your relationship with God and your prayers? Is it your money? Are you love of money? Are you looking for that man? Is it your job? Is it that car? What you need to do is ask God to reveal to you anything that you are placing above him. Ezekiel 14:3 says, Son of man, these men have set up idols in their heart and put wicked stumbling blocks before their faces. Should I let them inquire of me at all? So, you see, you're not going to serve two masters. God is a jealous God. And you cannot be supposedly in a loving relationship with God, but yet carrying on an affair with the world. You can't have other idols, other things getting before God. And the final thing that I want to share with us that is a big hindrance to war room mentality is a lot of us hide behind things, okay? We hide behind the shame. We hide behind the fear. We hide behind the guilt. But I came to tell somebody tonight that Jesus has come to break all chains and set us completely free. But when you hold on to guilt, fear, shame, and hurt, then you're going to continue to be shackled. Remember that Jesus came to set us free. So it is a good thing to confess your hidden things to God. It's not like he doesn't know them. And it's you know, I know with the climate of the church today, it is hard for you to just go and confess to others because they don't always treat that information or treat you with the same love, the same acceptance, the same honor when you tell them some of those hidden things. But I want you to begin to think about if any of these things are in your life. And what can you do to, what should you be praying in order for the Lord to move those things out of your life. Now, this concludes this part of my study for tonight. Next week, what we're going to be going, we're going to actually begin to set our war room strategy. We're going to be start moving toward beginning, making that, we're going to be looking at who we're battling. We're going to be, I'm going to be answering some questions about who, what, when, why, and why. And then I'm also going to be talking about before we can enter into the war room, we need to check our attitude. So next time we will be also looking at how we should enter into God's presence, the attitudes that we need to have in order to just enter into that war room. So over the next couple of discipleship classes, what we're going to be talking about is how do you really see prayer? Do you see it as a weapon, or do you just see it as polite conversation with God? Do you realize its power? What kind of attitude should we go up there before the Lord with? What kind of things are going to hinder you, well, that are hindering you right now? By the end of this study, I want us all to be able to answer all of those questions. So I want to just praise God for this part of our lesson tonight. I am being joined in the house by some wonderful Spirit Alive, my wonderful Spirit Alive family. So at this time, I'm going to give each of them an opportunity if they would like to have a comment or a word. They are more then welcome to. Tonight I am being joined by Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. I'm being joined by Minister Tina Brown, Bishop Lester Carver, Pastor Vanessa Carver, Apostle Zeta Flowers. I'm being joined by Deacon William Isbell and Minister Adam Tuggle, and for all of our listeners. So let's just get it cracking about our program for tonight. Minister Tina, do you have any comments?
Well, hallelujah, praise God. Thank you so much, Apostle Cook, for that teaching today on just how important our relationship with God is through prayer, being able to get in touch with Him through prayer, and being able to make sure that when we do pray and we're waiting for an answer, that we stay still and let God, not our mind, take the best of us. Let God do His diligence for us and just keep praying. Prayer is such a special gift that we can give back to God by talking to Him and trying to listen to Him and His guidance through prayer. And I'm just really thankful that you went over this today, because it's something that I love to do every day as many times as I can throughout the day. I stop myself and pray, and I just feel better after I do pray every time. I know if I'm having a hard situation or if something is kind of rocky at the moment in my life, if I have some little bit of chaos or something, if I stop right in the moment and I just pray, it just seems to lift the chaos a little bit and help me get through whatever it is that I might be going through in the storm. So I'm really thankful that I am able to be able to pray, and then I'm able to be able to use my mind and body and spirit with the Lord. Some people that are not well probably can't do that, but I know the Lord's still listening to them in their spirit, even if they may not be able to speak or their mind may not be able to speak because maybe they're in a coma or whatnot. But maybe if they just sit still, no matter where they are, the Lord still knows their heart. And that is something that I really for miss today. So thank you so very much. In Jesus' name, I just want to thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Now, would you like to pray at this time? I'm going to give each of the servant leaders opportunity to make a comment and then to pray for whatever the Lord leads you to pray. I'm sorry, I didn't give you complete instructions.
I would love to. Thank you so much. Oh, most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to your throne of grace just thanking you for another day you've given us to be able to come together and learn more about you and learn more about prayer, Heavenly Father, and how important prayer is in our daily lives. We just thank you so much for the power of prayer. through you, Heavenly Father, and how prayer does change things. We are so thankful that we've got to learn this lesson tonight and that we'll be doing a series on this lesson, Heavenly Father. We just thank you so much for those who are listening, Heavenly Father. Maybe they received something that they didn't receive before about prayer, Heavenly Father. I want to thank you for Apostle Cook and the message that she delivered today and the teaching about prayer, Heavenly Father. May this teaching lift everyone up that is listening to be able to pray with you, Heavenly Father, throughout their day, not just in the morning or when they go to bed. Heavenly Father, I just pray that this lifts people up to pray throughout their day and be one with you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Minister Tina. Mother Mitchell, comment or prayer or both?
Yes, I have comments on prayer program. You know, you've laid it out so wonderful. Thank you for the what you have said to get us started off on thinking about prayer and some things that hinder our prayers and how we should, how we should pray, why we should pray. And some of the things we pray and why we pray is we pray when we should pray when we're afraid. Go to God, not the neighbor. They're just afraid of everything in the world as you are. Go to God when you're afraid. And
Amen.
Pray about the fear that you're feeling because of what's happened in the world or what happened in your neighborhood. Other night I was laying here in bed, and for the first time since I've been living here, I heard sirens and shots fired close to our neighborhood. That's very unusual for out here. And I thought, well, Lord, you got it. Ain't no neighborhood free from what happens in the bigger part of the world. We just one little piece of it out here. And although we are blessed that it's not a rowdy neighborhood, and I don't know how else to put it, but you know what I mean, where you have gunfire every night and this kind of thing. We don't have that, but we did other night, and I still don't know what it was about. And we very much need to pray when we're angry. I'm just going to use a few of these tonight and add more later. But when we're angry in our body, in our spirit about things that happen to us. For instance, when I order my, because I'm elderly and I don't go to the grocery store and I order my groceries, it seems like they want to make decisions for me. Oh, it's just one.
Right.
Or we'll give her the little jar of this. Or we'll give her the rotten, the fruit will have two rotten oranges in it already. Or, you know, she's not going to come out here to say nothing to us, you know. But what they don't understand, I may not come out to the store and say anything to them, but I will definitely sit here in the war room and send a message up to God Almighty and say, Lord, I'm asking you to fix this for me if you would be so kind. I love
Amen.
You. I love your word. I love what you can do for us, what you have already done for me, and fix this, and I will give you all the praise, honor, and glory. And that's
Amen.
Just true off of my lips. So
Amen.
I thank you, Lord, for this this study. I thank you for Apostle Cook, who has been wanting to do this for a while, and I'm so glad she didn't give up on it, just like we can't give up on our prayers. I thank you, Lord, that you have given us strength when we're feeling weak to just know that you are our Lord and Savior. We pray to you because you are the greatest, and there is nothing greater than you are. We keep
Amen.
You in front of us at all times. Because
yes, Lord.
You are our Lord and our Savior. You are God the Creator. You are Jesus the Son who died on the cross. You are our Lord and Savior. And you are our comforter when we don't know what to do, and you lead us in the right direction, and you keep us moving. I thank you, Father God, for it all, because there is none like you. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, now, we're going to ask Minister Tuggle. Hallelujah. Do you have any comments, or would you just like to pray, dear, or both?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God for being here on tonight in Jesus' name. Thank God for the lesson on tonight on prayer. I'm just going to say this very, very quickly. When we talk about prayer, and the thing that runs through my mind and the scripture that comes to my mind is we should pray without ceasing. And man should always pray.
No minutes remaining in your select shared call.
Man should always pray. And with that being said, prayer is our communication with the Lord Jesus Christ. Prayer is one of our weapons in our battle against the enemy. Prayer can save somebody's life. When we go into intercessory prayer, we are saving people's lives by going into intercessory prayer.
Mm-hmm.
We may not know what when you go into intercessory prayer, we may not know who we're praying for, but we're saving somebody's life by doing that. When we pray for folks, when we go before the Lord, there is one thing about prayer, and it's a very, very vital weapon too. Along with the Word of God, when we study the Word of God, it's also good to pray before you read the Word and after you read the Word, because God gives us a better understanding of His Word in communication with Him in prayer. I thank God for prayer because I'm a true believer in the power of prayer. There are so many times when we're down and out, or we're sick, or we might be going through a test or a trial, and we don't see the way out, but when we pray, the Lord will intervene, and the Lord will show us what to do, how to do, where to move, how to move. And it's a great thing to be able to pray, and not only pray, but to have your prayers answered and heard.
Yes.
Because there are some people that pray, and their prayers go up to the ceiling, and they go right back down to the floor. So we have to be in tune with the Lord to be able to know how to pray and when to pray, and have the attitude. I say it like this: we have to have an attitude of prayer.
Yeah.
So when we get that attitude of prayer, when the Lord teaches us how to pray and when to pray and how to use prayer, because there you have to know how to use it as well. So I thank God for this teaching on tonight on prayer in Jesus' name. And I'm just going to pray real quick, and I'm going to get off, and I'm going to listen to everybody else. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we plead the blood of Jesus over each and every soul that is listening on tonight, Lord God. Lord God, we thank you for the teaching on prayer on tonight, Lord God. We know that you are our prayer answering God, and I pray for each and every person that is listening that has a petition up before you. Lord God, we ask you to bless them, honor their request, Lord God, in that you might see their need. You said in your word that you would not withhold no good thing for the ones that walk upright before you. So we ask in the name of Jesus that you answer your people's request in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we plead the blood against the enemy's devices right now.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Minister Tuggle. That was awesome. Thank you so much. Mother Giving, would you like to have a word tonight, ma'am?
Yes, I would. Thank you so much for this beautiful lesson. And I don't
Thank
only
you.
Pray. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
I only... Okay. I don't just pray once a day. I pray every morning, every night, all during the day. And I give God all the praise and thanks for allowing me at the age 94 to be here in this world and feeling the way I feel. I just thank him every day. And I thank you for this beautiful lesson. It was beautiful. I wrote down all the scriptures, and I will be going over them tomorrow. And I'd just like to say this prayer, if you don't mind. Dear Heavenly Father, I submit myself to you this evening with thanksgiving. Lord, please cleanse and restore our hearts, our soul, and minds to your will. And Father, please bless us today and every day with awareness of your Holy Spirit. Father, you created us from nothing, and you can recreate us. Every breath we take, Father, if you created us from nothing, you can certainly recreate us. Let the warmth of your healing love, Lord, pass through our bodies. And God, I give you all the honor and praise. Please bless each and everyone on this line. And in Jesus' name, I pray. Thank you, Lord, for giving me this opportunity.
Amen. Yeah. Glory to God. Yeah. Hallelujah, yeah. Jesus. We thank you. All right, we're going to go to Mother Matty Scott. I know she's in the house.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Believe it or not, I'm on another phone. The phone I usually be on, it's not working, but I had to use this backup Obama phone. It's okay. I still heard the word of the Lord, and I heard how well that you taught it. It is a very wonderful Bible study. The prayers are so beautiful from you and everyone. Like it said, the prayers of the righteous avail a much around the throne of God. And Mrs. Givens, the prayer that she just read, that was a beautiful prayer. You know, and you're so right, Bishop Cook. Everything that you said was right on time. We have to put the Lord first. We can't put nothing before him because he says he's a jealous God, and he is. We have to put him first above all things, and that means that nobody comes before him. Like my mother said, you have to put the Lord first above all things, and when we put him first above all things, just like you just said, he will answer our prayers. We have to come to the Lord in sincerity and truth, and because that's why we were separated from God, because Adam and Eve disobeyed Father God. And because of that, that's why human beings are automatically separated from the Lord. So he said, Father God sent his only begotten son, his beautiful, wonderful, darling son, King Jesus, to save the world. And because of that's the most beautiful gift that anyone can receive. When you accept the Lord in your heart and in your life, that's the most beautiful thing in the world. I tell you, there's no love no greater than that. The Lord gave his only begotten son. The Bible says, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. And he said, whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And I know that's true. So, Bishop, you did a beautiful job, a wonderful job. And right now, I'm going to go Father God's holy, beautiful throne of grace right now.
Amen.
Father God, we come to your holy, beautiful throne of grace, Lord, thanking you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. We thank you, Lord, for what you have done. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing right now. And we thank you, Lord, for what you will do. And, Lord, we just thank you so much for your beautiful, darling son, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for King Jesus. You know, and because of King Jesus, Lord, he goes on our behalf when we pray. Because he is our mediator. He goes on our behalf to you, Lord. And you grant us our prayers when we are sincere. Lord, I thank you right now. I thank you, Lord, for Bishop Cook. I thank you, Lord, for the lesson that she taught. And she's right. When you're angry and you have grudges in your heart, you know, Lord, you will not answer our prayer, because we have to forgive. We have to forgive, Lord, whether we want to forgive or not. We have to forgive each other. Because, Lord, you forgive us over and over again in spite of our wicked, sinful ways. Lord, I thank you. Your love, your loving kindness, oh, Lord, your mercy, your grace is sufficient, Lord, and favor and blessings upon us, Lord, blessing us when we don't even know it, blessing us, Lord, when we don't even deserve it. Lord, there's no love no greater than that. So, Lord, I just thank you right now. I thank you right now. I thank you for your servants of God. Everyone that's spirit alive, give them double honor. Give Bishop Cook double honor and all the ministers and apostles. Give them double honor, Lord. I thank you, Lord, right now. I thank you, Lord, for your word, basic instructions before leaving earth. I thank you, Lord. I thank you the other day, since saints and even Moses, who had disobeyed you because he hit the rock twice. And I said, Lord, have mercy. But even Moses, Lord, Moses and all your saints, all your prophets, Moses, Abraham, Noah, oh, Lord, I can go on and on, Apostle Paul, Peter, Matthew, Mark, Luke, James, John, and there's more, Jeremiah, Joshua. I can't even name all of them, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for them. I thank you, Lord, because, Lord, you uses us for a willing vessel. And, Lord, I just say, Lord, use me, Lord, for your will and your way, Lord. Tell it all about you and your son. And I tell anybody, I'm not the best person in the world, but, Lord, use me, Lord, for your will and your way to help bless somebody else. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you. And I always pray for a clean heart. Give me a clean heart, Lord. So I will do things, Lord, acceptable in your sight. Wash my heart, Lord, in your blood, where my heart be white as snow. And I thank you, Lord, for everybody here in Spirit Alive. Lord, bless them and their families. Bless their home, Lord. Cover them in your blood. Cover their homes and their families, Lord, in your blood. Keep your heavenly shield, your hedge of protection around them, Lord, everywhere they go. And I just thank you, Lord. God bless everyone at Spirit Alive. God bless you, Bishop Cook. And Lord, I just love you and adore you and thank you, Lord, with all my heart for all your blessings, Lord. You're so worthy. You're so worthy to be praised for the rising of the sun and going down of the same. I thank you, Lord, for all these blessings. And all these blessings I ask in the precious, precious, mighty name of King Jesus and Father God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
All right, Bishop Carver, man of God, come on in the room. Uh-oh. What's going on with Bishop? Okay, well, why he fixes? Are you there, Bishop?
Praise the Lord, Apostle Cook.
Okay, amen.
Apostle Cook, we know that our phone has pins and all kinds of devices we have to work around. So try the fruit of the spirit of patience. What we're going to do here we're going to focus on what God really has for us. Yes, are you there?
Yes, we're here.
We're going to focus on what God really has for us, because our relationship with God is rooted. In prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And we are in this place where we know that God hears us and we hear God, then we're available for him and he's available for us. So many people avoid because they don't believe that we are righteous enough to be in the presence of God. They also don't believe that God hears them, but they need to know that they are the righteousness of God because of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And see, it's the blood of Jesus Christ that is able to wipe out all of your sin, past, present, and future. The only thing that gets in the way of your prayer being answered is you not forgiving. And see, the only reason people don't forgive is because they don't realize what they've been forgiven of. They don't understand that the blood of Jesus Christ has paid for all of your sin, past, present, and future. And what that means is there is no individual that is going to transgress against you, hurt you, sin against you, more than you have sinned against God. And see, when you truly acknowledge what you have been forgiven of, then you are prepared to forgive everybody because you know that there is no one who is going to come against you the way that you have come against God during your entire life. And see, that when you really have that kind of relationship, then you can go boldly before the throne and receive the grace, receive the mercy to help in time of need. And see, that's the other thing, is people want to talk themselves out of the assignment that they have, the work that God has for them to do. And all they have to say is, oh, I'm not worthy. But what you're really saying is the blood of Jesus Christ isn't powerful enough to cover your sin, isn't powerful enough to prepare you to be the righteousness of God. The Bible says that God made his son Jesus Christ to be sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God. He who had no sin became sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God. And the other reality is that we as believers, what makes us believers is that we receive that. We walk in that. And we're not afraid when God asks us to do or commands us to do whatever he commands or asks us to do. And that's why we go boldly before the throne. Because, see, when you're in the court of the king, when you're in the court of our master, Jesus Christ, that means you're partaking of all of the blessings, all of the power, all of the grace. But it also means that you are signing up for all of the work. And that's why you've been given all mercy, so that even when you get it wrong, all you have to do is receive the mercy. God starts our day by giving us new grace and new mercy each and every day because he knows we're going to need it. And see, if we get to the point where we actually embrace that, and we say, you know what? I know that I'm not perfect. That's why God gives me new mercy every day. And I know that God blesses me with things that I don't deserve because he needs me to be blessed so that I can be a blessing to others. And I know that, furthermore, his grace is also empowering me. It is the power that allows me to do whatever he asks me to do. So God is not going to ask me to do something that I can't do because the power of the Holy Spirit within me is what empowers me to do what he gives me to do. So I'm not afraid to go boldly before the throne. And see, that's the other thing that we have to remember. See, the children of Israel, they said to Moses, you go, you speak to God. You go before him. You handle that. We're afraid. We don't want to be in his presence. And God told them, I'll deal with that for now. But for us, we have the power of the Holy Spirit within us. We have God in us, Jesus Christ in us, the Holy Spirit in us.
to allow us to go boldly before the throne and before any enemy that would dare to prevent the work of God that he has for us to fulfill. And anything that comes in our path will be dealt with accordingly. It will be put down. And see, you have to walk in that level of power and authority so that the devil can't talk you out of your assignment over some nonsense. I'll tell you, we have to begin to take ourselves as seriously as God takes us. And God took you seriously enough to send his son to die for you.
That's
to
right.
allow
Amen.
You to have the power of the Holy Spirit within you to use. Now, here's what it really comes down to, is God knows, because God is all-knowing, God knows who's going to use the power and who's not. He knows who's going to believe and who's not. And so we have to desire to walk at a higher level of faith so that we can be effective in what we do for God, through God, with God. And as
Amen.
We're knowledgeable about that, why am I even doing this? Well, because God has a plan. God's master plan is he will dwell with his children, and his children will dwell with him. And the devil's plan is to stop that plan. And he is trying to separate God from his children. And so we have to ask ourselves, what am I doing to help God communicate with his children? What am I doing to God dwell with his children now and in eternity? And if what you're doing is preventing God's children from boldly approaching the throne, if what you're doing is preventing God's children from realizing his purposes in their life, if what you're doing is not empowering people, then God is asking for you to, God is asking for you to embrace his purpose and simply become the extension of his hand of love and grace and forgiveness and mercy in the lives of others. So I
Amen.
Just want to encourage one of you to receive the word that you have heard tonight and the encouragement and admonition to pray intentionally, to pray effectively, to pray willingly, and to know that that is the essence of your relationship. Apostle Cook, I thank you for you taking the time to encourage God's people to pray the way they need to pray, and for you just continuing to serve God's people the way you have.
Well, thank you. You're going to pray for us, man. You can bring a word of prayer, man of God.
Oh, well, if I can, I surely will.
Yes, sir. Please.
I thank you for your presence in our life, God. We magnify you. We glorify you. Father, there is no other like you in heaven or earth or under the earth, God. Father, I thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, that you paid for all of our sin. I thank you for his broken body that paid for our physical wholeness. I thank you for your word that you've given us so that we can have clear, concise directions in what we do for you. And I thank you for how the word cleanses us and prepares us for all that you would have us to do for you. God, I thank you for you giving us boldness and allowing us to go wherever you send us, allowing us to do whatever you cause us to do. Father, I thank you for your purposes being fulfilled in our life and us becoming confident in who we are through your son, Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for the power of the blood of your son, Jesus Christ, that cleanses us from all sin and makes us worthy. Father, I thank you for all doubt, worry, and fear being put aside and done away with. And I thank you for you giving us a sense of honor and worthiness, God. Father, allow us to represent you in the earth and to mend those places that have been torn, and to fix those places that have been breached. I thank you for this right now in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Apostle Zeta Flowers, it's on you now, Mother. Come on to the room, please, ma'am.
All right. Praise the Lord. I've enjoyed everything. It was so beautiful. And, you know, these are the things that we need to know prior to entering into the war room. We need to know these things. And you brought it out very well as each one that had comments to bring forth. It was just so meaningful and so needed. Praise God. Prayer is vital, and as someone said earlier, it is life-saving, and it
yes.
really is, because, you know, when you have had experience and praying for people in situations where the doctor had given them up and said that they weren't going to live but for a few days or a few months or whatever, and then we go into prayer believing God without any hindrances, without anything holding us back, in spite of how the situation looks. It is life-saving. I know for a fact, I could actually start with myself. Years ago when I was diagnosed with cancer, I was healed. And so I know how important prayer is, and it is life-saving, not only for myself but others we have prayed
yes.
for. I have a blood-borne sister that is with us, and one went to heaven. I think it's almost 3 years now, or it has been 3 years, and the one that I'm speaking of now that is still with us, they also, at the same time that my other sister was leaving, they thought that she would also, but God. And, you know, through prayer and, you know, scripture, because I was saying that she was going to live and not die and declare
yes.
the works of the Lord. And we see it, you know, we see it.
Yes.
And it's not about us, but it's about God. It's about how we can put our trust in him and know that when we ask him for these things, when we ask him for miracles, they're going to be wrought.
Yes.
It's up to us that we believe, that we just simply believe God for who he is.
Yes.
And so, you know, it is vital. It is super vital. And, you know, we can, when we enter the war room, we're already in a battle, you know,
yes.
Against Satan, because he tries to set up barriers for us, hindrances, all kinds of things. He tries to make us think that he owns everything, and he tries to offer people things, but he has nothing to offer.
That's right.
He, you know, only God is the one that we can go to and know that once we do, we are going to receive. When I was thinking about some of the things that you mentioned earlier, hindrances, unbelief, definitely one of them. Not being consistent in prayer, being distracted, allowing distractions to interrupt when we don't have to, because, you know, we've already been given the power over these things, and God has blessed us with the divine weapons, and when we know how to use them, that's what we need to do. And when we step into a battle or a war situation where we know that Satan is attempting to take a life or take anything that he can take from us, then that is the time that we need to utilize the power that God has given us and go straight forward into battle with Satan and command that he take his hands off.
Yeah.
Allow Satan to know that he has no place with us or with you or whoever we might be praying for. But we have everything that we need to go into combat with. And I think that sometimes we fail to go into battle when we need to. So I'm going to pray in a little bit about that. But we must be sincere, as someone said. And when we come to God, we need to come with the right attitude, knowing that He's God and He's God over all. When we come to Him, He's definitely not at our level. 2 Corinthians 2:14 lets us know that we can triumph over these things that you know, affect us. We are able to overcome because the Bible tells us that we are overcomers. We're more than a conqueror. And so we can conquer what we set out to conquer because we are operating in His power and His strength.
Yeah.
Praise God. And through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Showing us what to do and when to do it and
how to do it.
You know, all of the things that we need to see and know, the Holy Spirit will give us direction. So we must be consistent in our prayer. We must be committed to it. We really must be. That is so important. Oh, wow. It is just so much that I can say, but I'm gonna stop there and go into prayer. I want to pray against the spirit of disobedience, because when anybody's operating in the spirit of disobedience, it's almost like you're a loser.
Amen.
To start. Amen. And I want to pray against the self-righteous spirits, bitterness, spirit of bitterness, spirit of unforgiveness. Praise God. A lot of times when we come into prayer, we come with unresolved conflict with others, and that is a great hindrance. We need to take whatever we need to take to God prior to entering in and asking Him for things. Amen. All right. Father God, I thank You for this night. I thank You, Lord, for Your power. Thank You, Lord, for Your strength. And thank You, Lord, for Your love most of all. Thank You that You love us so much, Lord, that you stepped down, that You came down to where we were, and You saw fit to save us. Thank You for that tonight. Thank You for salvation. We thank You for making a way when there was really no way for us except through You. We thank You for it. Father God, I pray against the spirit of disobedience that affects so many that operate in the spirit that choose not to obey You, but choose to go in their own way. We bind the spirit in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, and we loose the spirit of obedience. We come against the self-righteous spirit, Lord. that spirit that wants to have its own way, the spirit that doesn't acknowledge you, we come against that right now in the name of Jesus. And we call forth the spirit of righteousness, your righteousness, in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Father.
We bind the spirit of bitterness right now in the name of Jesus. Bitterness and unforgiveness.
Yes,
in
Lord.
In Jesus' name, we pray, Lord, that that spirit, hallelujah, will go in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that the spirit, hallelujah, forgiveness and love, hallelujah, will take the place of it in Jesus' name. We call for the spirit of love
right Lord.
Now in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. And we pray, Lord, for more forgiveness in the body of Christ. That unresolved conflict with others can be resolved. Help your people to know it and to realize it in Jesus' name and begin to walk in the spirit of love.
Yes,
and we thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for what you have done and what you're yet going to do in meeting us meeting in this united prayer, as well as what you're going to do in our own lives as we go about doing what you tell us to do for the sake of others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Praise the living God. Now if there's before we go to our beloved pastor, intercessor, and prophet, Vanessa Carver, if there's anyone else that is sitting in the sanctuary tonight and you would like to pray, or you would like to make a comment, if you would push your one right now, then that way I will address you and you can have your word of prayer or you can make your comment before we go to Pastor Vanessa, because we will allow Pastor Vanessa to have the last word and she will pray for us and then I will close the program. So anybody? All right. Well, Pastor Vanessa, beloved, come on in the room.
Ma'am. Thank you, Apostle Cook, and everyone on the line, and thank God for Spirit Alive Network and all the global partners that are listening today. This is an awesome message, and I thank God for leading Apostle Cook, and many of us has been on our hearts to teach and disciple about prayer and the war room. I just want to share one thing about a war room. When I think of that, I always think of military. Place, a headquarters where strategies are downloaded. And so when we pray, and all of us have different targets, and I believe once a month, Apostle Cook allows us all to come and pray different things because God has laid different things on our hearts. And all the things that she addressed tonight is very relevant. I mean, not just relevant, but very important and great reminders about this posture we have to have, our own lives, how we can't compartmentalize how we live and then come and pray about something, how we can't use prayer as a tactic for our own agendas, and how we need to be aware of our own heart and our own motives, that they be purified in prayer. And so this, for me, brings up so many things. Unity, of course, which Apostle Zeta has taught about many times and discipled, and also Apostle Cook and many of us on the line have talked about unity and have prayed about unity. One-mindedness, one heart. That's where action happens. And we can pray for each other as many of us have. We pray for each other on this line. We pray for different things. But the war room is, I think, about strategies, period. Understanding the enemy's strategy, as well as allowing the Lord to use his strategies in our lives and how that plays out. So that's where how I'm going to pray. And I thank God for us having teachable spirits tonight.
Yes.
Saying there's something that I know Apostle Cook is going to teach that's either going to remind me of something God said over about this issue, or it's going to be revelation. It's going to be fresh bread. So I just thank God for every time that we have these types of lessons, that we all are just sitting at the feet of God, realizing through that, through Apostle Cook and different ones, that he is speaking directly to us individually, and then he's speaking to us collectively.
Yes,
Father God, thank you today for this opportunity to make you great and for you to remind us of who we are, how we're supposed to serve, and be stirred in that way. Father God, to know that this is not a game, that this is sincere work. This is a level of sacred discipline that we have to employ every day. We have to use it every day.
Yeah.
I thank you, Lord, today that thank you for unity, that we're all on this line today because we want to understand what discipleship and prayer look like. I thank you, Father God, today that you speak to our hearts and that we hear you clearly.
Yes, Jesus.
That we know that when we pray that we're saying things, but you're speaking as well.
Yeah.
So I thank you, Lord, today that when you call us to pray, that we be still throughout the day.
Yeah.
Because many times, Lord, we know that you answer prayers however you want to. And so help us to be sensitive to how you answer our prayers. I think, Lord, today when Apostle Cook taught this lesson, war room, I still hear strategies. There's different things that you're trying to teach us about what a strategy is and what a strategy is not. And you're also trying to show us the enemy's strategies and not to walk into his traps, into his snares, and not to allow him to have access to us and to what you're trying to do. I thank you, Lord, today that I believe the enemy cannot stop what you're doing, but he can slow it down. And he does it with our division, which Apostle Zeta prayed about, with different things that we see in the body of Christ, in ourselves, Father God. I thank you, Lord, today that we go to your word and we remember how the prophets prayed. A lot of times when they were called to pray, they called about, they spoke about repentance. They repented first. So I thank you,
Lord,
today, collectively, as when I think of Daniel and Nehemiah specifically, they repented themselves and then they repented for the people because of who they represented. So, Lord, I thank you today that I come to you today myself repenting of things, things that have separated me from fully being elevated to where you want me to be and how I serve. Lord, there's all of us that have a sacrifice to give. So, Father God, forgive us. Help me to turn and help us to turn away from, that's repentance, the ideology that led us into giving 100%. I know that you continue to talk to us separately off this line about what that is. I pray that we be still and know that you're God and receive it and know that it's not punishment when you correct us, but you want us to be more. You know what you put in us individually, and you know what you put into us collectively. And I know that you have asked us to harness it. It's just like when Apostle Cook was talking about learning how to harness the sun in an experiment with science. There are gifts in us and skill sets in us that we're only going to realize what they are if we don't, unless we use them together. We got to use them together.
Yes.
So, Father God, I just thank you for showing us what that is. Let us give us strength, energize us, because many times when many of us go to pray, we get, that's when we get sleepy, that's when we get hungry, that's when we get distracted, and that is a divine strategy that the enemy uses. That's a demonic strategy. Pay attention to those things and come against them and push back. There are many of us, Lord, that are called to prayer that have fell off the wagon, if you will. And I thank you, Lord, today that you need all hands on deck and that we hear your call and how you gently love us and propel us forward when we obey, which is what Apostle Zeta also prayed. So I thank you, Lord, today for these things. I know you're going to answer them. I expect them to be answered in the most unique way that you answer them. In the name of Jesus Christ, we love you, Lord. We love you and draw us closer to you so we can be more developed in this area. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. And glory to God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
And Pastor Vanessa is absolutely right, because as I said at the beginning, at the top of this program, we are building up our war room strategy. By the end of this series, we are going to have not only a war room mindset, our strategy, our game plan, but we are going to look at the way we pray with more fervor, with more, with a better understanding of the power that it has.
Oh, God.
And like I said, every general, but there are some things before we, you know, tell people that we got to pray, But there's some things that we ought to be doing and ought to be checking before we enter into God's presence, before we enter into the war room, before we enter in, we understand, as we have said, our prayer is a weapon of mass sin destruction. And when we enter into intercessory prayer, we are indeed praying for the masses, and we are expecting God to move. And when we are going into the war room, we don't go haphazardly. We know that there's going to be some minds laid about for us from the enemy. When we go into the war room, when we go into enemy territory, we don't go in there laughing and skinning and grinning. We go in with purpose. We go in knowing what we've got to do. We do it, and we get out.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
So I praise God for all of these anointed warriors of God, prayer warriors that are in the house tonight, these teachers, these prayer warriors. I want to thank each and every last one of them for coming on in the room. Like I said, next the next time we're together, we're going to start looking at we're going to begin our war room prayer strategies in earnest and how to go about looking at that. And then we're going to go into some attitudes, because before we go into the Heavenly Father, we need to really know, we need to check our hearts. We need to know what kind of attitude we harbor.
Yes, Lord.
And I want to go through them precept upon precept, and I want to go through them in earnest, because I want people to understand what hinders us from being effective. I want people to understand what makes us victorious. And it's very important to God that we get it. And it's important to me that I teach it. So if you're sitting in the room tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, one of the first acts of obedience that you can do for God is to come to his son, Jesus Christ.
That's right. Amen.
That's the first act of obedience, is to come to his son. And when I say come to his son, I'm not talking about next week when you have went out and you think you are, next month or next year when you think you can fix yourself up or you can rationalize or justify to yourself that you're ready. God wants you to come just as you are. He wants you to come and bow your heart before him. And all you simply have to do is just say, look, Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. That's what that's the first act of repentance. Please forgive me of the sin of not believing that you were Father God. But now I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He came. He bled. He bled, died, and rose for my sin. Because you raised him from the dead, Father God. So I'm asking that you come into my life and save me. Save me for your glory. So teach me your ways so that I might serve you all the days of my life and unto eternity.
And if you prayed that prayer in any kind of form, because you got to make it personal, it's got to be sincere to you. Maybe you took a few and you're taking a few extra moments and actually asking, telling Jesus, confessing what you want to be forgiven of. But however you went to the Father and to his Son, and if you said that prayer, you are now a part of the family of God.
Yes.
And we want to welcome you into the kingdom of God. So I want to thank all of my wonderful guests on tonight. I want to thank, hallelujah, I want to thank all of you that participated. I want to thank you, say a wonderful thank you to Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Minister Tina Brown, Bishop Lester Carver, Pastor Vanessa Carver, Mother Gibbons, Apostle Zeta Flowers, and Mother Matisse Scott. I want to thank you, Deacon William Isbell. I want to thank you one and all for joining us here on tonight. We pray that you continue to acknowledge Christ in all that you do. Have a beautiful and blessed week, and from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from all of us here at Taking It to the Streets. Good night, family. I love you.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Love you.
God bless you.
Love you all.
You too.
And God bless you.
Amen.
God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless
you. God bless you. Love you all.
God bless.
Love you all.
Love you all.
Love you too, Bishop Cook.